Hey, brand new episode of the pod. Thanks for tuning in. As always, the Call to Arms podcast is brought to you by the amigo, Toby from HR. Original art is by Double T, Alan Martin. And of course, original theme music is a track called Tropical Vikings. That's courtesy of King Wow and the rest of Careless Music Manila. Shout out Brett Jackson. Thanks for making that song available to us now and forever, I think. He didn't really say that when I asked permission at the start, but I haven't asked since, and there are no takebacks. If you guys are new to the pod, then, you know, it is the People's Podcast, and we live much, much more outside of Spotify or wherever it is you're catching this. So please do make sure that you follow us on whether it's Instagram, on Twitter. Join the Facebook community. Just search for Call to Arms Podcast Community. And also, this is a new treat for everybody. We're on YouTube now. We've got a couple of videos up there already, and some of the best stuff that you hear on the pod, we're taking them on YouTube, and you can watch it and enjoy it in video form if that's something you guys are into. So follow us, search for Call to Arms Podcast on YouTube. All right, we're doing something new, and we're doing something that we're going to be doing a lot moving forward here on the pod. It's called The 10. I'll explain it right as soon as we start. My name is Nico Ramos. This is the Call to Arms Podcast.
Something going on around the islands. Money flowing wherever I've been promised. Just another Viking in the tropics. Taking over, trying to stop this novice. Make it killing. I'm finna conquer. I'm a dreamer. The floor is lava. Something going on around the islands.
All right, now this is something new that we're doing here on the pod, and it's something that we're promising that we're going to do a whole lot more of. We're calling it The 10, myself and the amigo Toby from HR. We have five things each, just random things, things that are piquing our interest the most in and around the very, very wide realm of things we're interested in. And then we'll alternate and talk about those things a little bit or a lot or not at all, depending on the other person's, I guess, level of interest with the 10 things. So I'll go first. Can I go first?
Please.
Is this how you want it? You want me to go first? All right.
Yeah,
okay. My first, and again, this is a list of 10 things, five from me, five from the amigo. In the future, if there are things that you want to make it to the 10, just let us know, suggest it, and maybe it'll get there. My number one, and this is going to be my number one for a while, is the fact that the name Rodney is now dead. I've always been fascinated by dead names, and by dead names, I mean, you know, names that you don't know any young people with these names.
Right.
Like my grandma, her name was Fe. My Lola, her name was Fe.
Right.
That's a dead name.
Yeah.
Like, no, you don't know a person your age whose name is Fe. Although my Lola, she knew a bunch of Fes. She was like, you know,
right.
She wasn't the only Fe in her generation in her town. There was a bunch of Fes. No one is named Fe. You're not going to meet the baby. No celebrity or no friend of yours is going to post their baby and say, meet our beautiful daughter, Fe. It's done. It's done. And Rodney is, I guess, now officially dead. To be fair, though, Rodney Santos was probably the youngest Rodney I've encountered here in the Philippines. And Rodney Magruder is the youngest Rodney I've heard of, period. And after Draymond Green just completely annihilated the name Rodney in that press conference, I don't think anyone in who's aware of anything NBA is gonna even consider the name Rodney for their children. It's just dead. Just the way he said it with disdain, it's just complete disgust. Rodney. Rodney.
Right. Let me play that clip real quick.
Please, please. I need to hear the hate in his voice.
When the f*** Rodney Magruder become the tough guy of the team? Like, over there talking like he's a team tough guy. The hell out of here. Tough guy, Rodney. Tough guy. I don't know, man. There's too many tough guys in this league these days for me. But I know ain't nobody scared of no damn Rodney Magruder. Like, kidding me?
I have a question, though. Who did Rodney Magruder worse, though? Was it Draymond or was it Klay who murdered him from the broadcast booth.
What's going on over there, Clay?
Rodney Magruder.
Oh, no, this dude might be out the league soon. He's probably mad about that. Who knows?
Wow. Shots fired.
He's over here checking my guy. You good?
Everybody seems to be okay, and everybody's going to their respective locker rooms there. But
yeah, I don't know.
That's savage.
Five he over Warriors. Here trying to start something like he's a good player or something. It's like, bro, easy. Get out of here. You might be. Sorry. All right, we're done.
Easy.
Well, I think obviously the 2-3 minute rant from Draymond had a lot more punches. You know, if you're scoring this as a fight, that's a lot of power punches landed. But the right. fact that you got sucker punched out of nowhere by Klay Thompson, who, you know, for all accounts is a nice guy that everyone likes in the NBA.
Yes.
I would say that he had like the number one approval rating of anyone in the entire league. Yeah. I didn't think of one person who had any reason to dislike Klay Thompson. And then he went off on Rodney Magruder.
OKC fans had their dynasty murdered, absolutely destroyed by Klay, and they still love him. Anything he does is gold.
He's like, yeah, China Klay is funny. China's, Klay's dog is cute. And the fact that he got injured again, you know, everyone was feeling for him. And, you know, prayers up for Klay. Hope he gets better. When he was drinking a beer after that press conference, we all love Klay. But that shot out of nowhere, completely uncalled for, saying that Rodney Magruder was probably on his way out the league, that hurt. If I've been stalking Rodney Magruder's social media just to see if and when he'll post. I don't think he's posting anything until next year.
You think he's going to change his name?
It's done. Just go by Rod. Just go by Rod. It's just an homage to Rod Strickland. He's you know how Mike Malone, the head coach of the Nuggets, is now Michael Malone?
Really?
He's now Michael. Everyone says Michael Malone on the broadcast. All the journalists, when they write about him, it's now Michael Malone. He grew out hair. Now has, you know, a cool haircut. Lost some weight. Found his jawline, and he's now Michael Malone. Right. When he used to be just Mike Malone. And I think that's the move for Rodney Magruder because Rodney. Raymond hated it so much. Like, it was a tough guy, Rodney. that's my top thing. That's my top thing. Rest in peace to the name Rodney. You're not going to see anyone named Rodney for another 50 years, probably. That's my one. What's yours?
Right. Well, my number one is Chris Paul. I have spent my entire life hating you. You know, but then today, we're recording this on Tuesday, and Chris Paul just had 34 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals, 70-57-100 shooting splits against the Dallas Mavericks, and the game-winning assist to book. Chris Paul, I love you so much. I never thought I'm going to say it, but I love you so much.
All right, here's my thing. Again, recording this on a Tuesday morning. Is it that much of a statement win? Is it as big of a statement win knowing that it's Dallas's 6th straight? I'm not taking anything away from your Suns.
Oh, no.
But do you feel as good about it?
It wasn't so much the win as it was a turning point in my life when I'm finally accepting the point God into my heart as our team's Lord and Savior. You know, I really didn't like the trade at the start, but then I don't know. He's the only one I can see who can light a fire under DeAndre Ayton's beta male ass. So I'm all in on Chris Paul.
First of all, Chris Paul in like the first week of the season, I think after a loss, called up Jay-Z and handed the phone to Devin Booker. Right?
Right.
Devin Booker posted a story that he's like, talk to Jay-Z today, needed that. Thanks at CP3.
Yeah.
When people talk about veteran leadership and what they bring to the locker room, I don't want guys who just clap their hands and say, come on guys, we can do this. Or I don't want, you know, old guys who are first in the gym, last to go out. The standard is now, if you're a vet and you're supposed to be the great locker room presence. You're supposed to be putting me in touch with the Jay-Z's of the world. First of all, I mean, Chris Paul has raised the bar when it comes to what's the expectation for vets. So that's one. Regardless of what happens, he's putting Book onto the A-list, right? So,
right.
I mean, for that alone, he's changed the Suns culture. No way in hell would you have seen, like, you know, DeAndre Ayton front row in Paris Fashion Week. Now, after COVID, there's a chance. There's a chance. There's a chance Ayton gets those invites because Chris Paul, that's the kind of clout he has. Second, I share with you this massive 180 when it comes to Chris Paul. This is my public apology to Chris Paul, to Cliff Paul, to little Chris, and the entire Paul family. I used to actively dislike Chris Paul. Hate is a strong word. Hate, it's a very strong word. And as a Christian, I try not to use the word hate. But when I tell you I hated Chris Paul, I hated him because he was a Clipper. I hated him because I was afraid
you
of
him
during that.
Because he didn't make the Lakers? No.
I hated him because of these things, right? He scared me when he was with the Hornets and they played the Lakers in the West Finals. That was a truly scary series. Pau Gasol still has not recovered from getting switched onto the pick and roll. And Andrew Bynum's career got shorter by 3 years because of the punishment Chris Paul put on him that series. And then he was going to go and be a Laker. And I was extremely excited for it, right? And then they took it back. And so I had to spend years pretending I never really wanted Chris Paul to begin with. We were going to lose Pau and Lamar in that deal. I never wanted Chris Paul. And then he went on to become a Clipper. And, you know, obviously the Clippers, I don't know why, but for a long time there, the Clippers were a very unlikable team. And now that I look back at all the Clipper highlights, because I now also too love Chris Paul, now I look at all the Clipper highlights and I'm like, man, Lob City was the best.
Right,
Lob City was amazing. Like, Lob City was incredible.
We didn't appreciate it. Way ahead of its time, Lob City.
Not enough. Yeah, we did not appreciate it enough. You know, DeAndre was incredibly charismatic. Blake was an alien from another planet.
Yeah.
They had J.J. Redick. If they had one decent small forward... at any point during that run, they would have been champions. They should have at least gone to the finals once. And, you know, and Doc, as much as, you know, Doc has that 08 Celtics DNA in him, Doc, you know, Doc has proven to be a really cool guy and someone whose voice and influence we need in a professional league in 2021. And, you know, I don't know when it happened. I think it was last year with OKC when they were the Cinderella team. But my feelings about Chris Paul have gone from this is the one guy I want to see fail the most to right now I look at him and I'm like, we're the same size, Chris Paul and I. And I'm looking at him for fashion choices.
Right.
Chris Paul's also one of those guys who doesn't have a stylist because he thinks he doesn't need one.
Uh-huh. Really?
On most days, I think he needs one. I'm not sure if he has a stylist or not, but he seems like he has that kind of energy for me. I love Chris Paul. God bless the point guard. I've gone from hating him to I think he's now my favorite player in the NBA. It's
really?
It's a crazy
full stop?
Time. Like non-Laker.
All right. Yeah, I respect
not,
that. Yeah.
Non-Laker number one for me. I think it's Chris Paul. And to go from hating him and to now, you know, like actually loving him and seeing him as this incredible player that I'm attacking people for slandering onto his name. I love Chris Paul. I feel you, man. the Suns are lucky to have him. He's gonna take you to the promised land of the second round, man.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we'd be happy to be there, man.
Beggars can't be choosers. Beggars can't be choosers. You get to the second round, you'll be fine. All right. Here's my number two. I'm extremely proud of this. I haven't been following it as closely as I have the last few years, but the Rumble is the Rumble. And anytime January you know, early February hits, I get sucked right back in to wrestling because the Rumble kicks off. That's always around, what, 70 days, 60 days, 2 months away from WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And it always sucks me back in. I was super curious about the Royal Rumble this year because there wasn't going to be a crowd. Right. And if there's one event, if there's one phenomenon in the WWE that needs a crowd the most, it's the Royal Rumble because right. you exactly. need the pop, right?
Exactly.
You need that massive pop anytime some geriatric wrestler comes out at number 21 and, you know, anytime a wrestler comes out and they don't take off their shirt, you know, like, kind of, oh, man, I mean, Road Dogg shouldn't be doing this anymore. Road Dogg's gonna throw one person out.
with a 2x4.
Anytime they keep their t-shirt on, you know it's rough times. But yeah, so I was super curious about it, and they managed to pull it off. I really felt like the Rumble had a lot of the energy that it usually has. I feel like they did a great job with this particular, you know, Royal Rumble. Christian was back. Christian came back. I was so happy to see that. See, this is what you get. This is what you get for not watching the Rumble. Christian came back. He was probably the biggest name to make a Rumble cameo. I'm not sure if that leads to a comeback or what.
Right.
But I will say this. The unpublished, unreleased open Zoom call that we did, what was it, last week?
Yeah, last Thursday, I think.
This is, hand to God, I want a timestamp on this. This is 100% the truth. This was days before the Royal Rumble. We'll play the tape. Someone asks me, who do you have winning the Rumble? And I said, I don't know. I'm not following it closely this year, but I really hope it's Edge. I'm calling it, it's Edge.
A sidebar. Who's your pick to win the Rumble? The Royal Rumble.
Man. Kind of want Edge to win, but that's a biased pick because I have a special place in my heart for Edge. Comeback last year obviously was super dramatic. I don't think there's a way we can replicate that, you know, this year. I'm glad Roman's not in the Rumble because I feel like at the end of each Rumble the last 5 years or so, Roman's in the last four, and you kind of have to make moral determination of do I want to root for Roman? I know I should. They're telling me I should. He's a face, but then I really don't like him. And now he's trying to be this heel with Heyman, and then I'm just like, I still don't like him. Like, I don't dislike Roman Reigns. I just like, I'm just apathetic towards him. So I'm just glad that he's not there. Apart from that, I haven't been as tied into wrestling as I should be. I definitely will be watching the Rumble. I guess I'm just rooting for some big pops. I'm rooting for some old guys to come back. And if I hear any DX music, I'm going to lose my mind. And guess what? Entrant number one into the Rumble runs the gamut. It just goes all the way to the very end. Was in the ring the entire time. None of this cheating stuff that Randy Orton tried to pull. Where, you know, he got injured, rolled out from the bottom, and then came out in the end with the RKO, and then tried to steal it from my boy Edge. But no, from 1 to 30, rated R superstar Edge wins the Rumble. He's going to the WrestleMania. Called it, and I cannot be happier.
Right. Well, I have the audio as evidence. I mean, we can play that, but then. So it was Orton versus Edge at the end, rated RKO back.
Yeah, it was them at the start because Edge was number one, Orton was number two, and then Orton got hurt, and we've seen this kind of stunt pulled before by the WWE when out of nowhere he slides in and then RKO's Edge. And then tries to throw him out, but Edge does the reversal and then throws out Randy. And you know, it was fantastic. It was fantastic.
I should catch that. Okay, so number two for me is Attack on Titan, which I never thought would be something I would get into. I never thought it would be something that I would binge watch in a week and a half, but I'm here, man. I'm up to date, and there's 8 episodes left, and it's really, really good. I mean, are you on this?
Wait, there's 8 episodes left of it ever?
Ever, yes. It's ending soon. I mean, I think this is the 5th season or the 4th season. I don't know. The weebs can come at me, but then there are 8 episodes left, and I think it should end in March. So if you want to get on that train, man, you really should. It's great.
Okay, because I'm not. And I have nothing against anime. I've seen Attack on Titan a couple of times, and it's up there on my list of, well, if I were going to get in on an anime show, it would probably be this. However, it's 2 things that have intimidated me.
Right.
Because I've been hearing Attack on Titan for a while. Isn't there a movie or a couple of movies?
Yeah, there are like, a bunch of movies, I think.
Is this one of those things that's gone on for like 20 seasons and it's impossible for me to catch up on? You're telling me it's not. You're telling me no. You started from having watched nothing to now you're updated with 8 episodes left.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago, I started.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. It's good. So okay. Help me through this. Help. Because I've been seeing it on the Twitter machine and... I'm getting a big dose of the FOMO because I don't know anything about it. It has Titan on its name, and I have always figured it'd be cool. So my whole thing was I've always wanted to have movies that mention the word Titan on it and right. have the movie posters of that and just hang it around like the Titan office, right? Uh-huh. Or at least my area, right? And that'd be pretty clever. And I once saw an Attack on Titan poster, but I didn't get it because I was like, ah... That's too posery of me because I haven't seen it. So, yeah. Okay, I'm close to buying it. I'm close to buying it. 30 seconds. What is it? For everyone who's watching right now that watches this and loves this, all right? Okay, hold your horses, right? Be quiet. I'm sorry I haven't seen it. I truly do apologize. So everyone who hasn't seen it, Toby's going to try to sell it to us in 30 seconds.
All right. Well, I don't want to go into the mythology of it all because that's really half the fun of it, but... If I had to sell you on it, what it does best is that it does that thing Game of Thrones did where it makes you really attached to these characters, like really three-dimensional characters. These aren't your cardboard anime stereotypes, right? So really great characters, and then they kill them off one by one in the most violent way possible, the most heartbreaking way possible. I don't want to go into the depths, but then that's it, man. If you watch Game of Thrones to see who dies next week, you're going to love Attack on Titan.
All right. Okay. I'm sold. I'm sold. I believe it. I believe it now. So Attack on Titan, that's going to be, that's a recommendation. That's a recommendation from half of us at least, but I trust Toby. So he's vouching for it. Go spend your time watching Attack on Titan. So that brings me to my number 3, the 5th thing on our list of 10. And my thing for this week, if you want to talk TV shows, you have Attack on Titan. Warrior, I'm late to it, I know. I'm late to it, I know. And I'm sorry about that. But I just binged Warrior in a week or so.
Right,
There's 2 seasons of it, right? Every episode is fantastic. It's kind of hung up right now, and people are fighting for there to be a season 3 because it used to be a Cinemax. It was a Cinemax original.
Right.
And then at the start of 2020, I think, Cinemax said, we're ending all of our original programming because, I don't know, they're merging. They're owned by HBO, HBO Max, or I'm not sure what's happening in their company, right?
Right.
But they put Warrior onto the HBO streaming service, which here in the Philippines, it's HBO Go. Mm-hmm. And I was scrolling around. I've been seeing it on Twitter because I think they put it up on HBO Max in the US and people started getting into it. And I'm like, all right, cool. All right, let me try Warrior. It's the best. It's I would say it's the best fight sequences, a healthy diet of fight sequences, high quality, intricate, believable, and extremely entertaining fight sequences I've ever seen on any TV show.
Right. Yeah.
You know there's going to be a fight pretty much every episode. And every episode that fight is nuanced. It's extremely well shot.
Yeah.
It's not these cliche, you know, they're they're suspended by stuff.
Right, right.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, they're flying, doing 20 kicks in the air type of stuff. No, this is true, actual martial arts fighting. And yeah, it's really good. It's really good.
Yeah. I'm not up to date. I think it's all like maybe 3 episodes. And I think the biggest selling point from me was it was based on the writings of Bruce Lee. Is that what they're going? That's how they market it, right?
Yeah, no, and I thought that was a whole marketing thing, right?
Yeah.
But I did my research like a nerd about it, and what I found was, first of all, Justin Lin's involved with the development of it. He's a big force behind Fast and Furious, right?
Right.
I'm going to ignore that sarcasm and say they were talking about how they put it together. And, you know, Bruce Lee's daughter was talking about and Justin Lin was talking about it. And they had all of these notebooks and notes, boxes and boxes of notes that Bruce Lee had actually written. Mm. And it was so fleshed out. And they almost did at least the bones of the show almost purely according to his writing. So in the 60s or in the 70s, whenever it was, to tell everybody, he wrote the show, he pitched a show called Warrior to the networks in the US.
Oh. And
at the time, he wanted to do a show about the first Chinese people who had come to the United States to do, you know, to pursue the American dream, were kind of trapped and tricked into, you know, going into cheap labor, put up the first Chinatown in San Francisco, and just the whole, you know, kung fu story of the gang wars, the Tong wars in San Francisco Chinatown in that time. And that was really what he wanted to explore. And if you watch the show, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. The networks, when they saw the pitch, they're like, yeah, cool, no, this sounds great. We kind of want, you know, a kung fu martial arts type of show. They went ahead and did a show called Kung Fu, but it starred a white guy.
Right, David Carradine. Yeah, David Carradine. Bill.
Yeah.
From Kill Bill.
Yeah, Bill from Kill Bill. Yeah, you know, which was, not a bad show, but it wasn't Bruce Lee. So that was Bruce Lee's big heartbreak, because he gave his, you know, entire creative effort into pitching the show. And no one, you know, not only did it not get picked up, they pretty much whitewashed it.
Right.
So now, you know, you get actual, you know, Asians in a high level, high budget TV show about the Asian American story. And, you know, it's incredible. It's fantastic. I will say this, though, because it is a Cinemax original, maybe don't watch it with your parents.
Right.
Maybe don't watch it with your kids. It's the same parental warning as probably I would give to anyone watching Game of Thrones, especially those early Throne seasons.
Yeah, I agree.
Just make sure. Just make sure that you avoid those awkward moments. Watch it when the kids are asleep. And don't watch it with your parents. And if you're a kid listening to this, then maybe ask your parents first before you go watch Warrior. But other than that, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
You know what my one last thing about Warrior is that
I
absolutely love?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I know that I'm going way, way too much on this. But the guy who plays Young Jun in Warrior, right? He's actually from Fast and Furious. He's actually from Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. So Young Jun is one of the main characters of the show, right?
Oh, right. And yes.
His name's Jason Tobin. And Jason Tobin is one of the random skinny guys with a laptop always tinkering with the cars that's in Han's crew in Fast and Furious.
Oh yeah,
that was like maybe 30 pounds of muscle ago. but now he is one of the main characters in this show, Warrior, and he's incredible in it. He's Young Jun is the best. So there you go. That's my Warrior thing.
I should get on that again. All right, so my number three is King Kong.
I'm ready for this.
All right, so the trailer for King Kong versus Godzilla came out last week. Was it last week? Last weekend? And then
everybody
was talking about it. Durant was tweeting about it. Some people were saying, why is King Kong suddenly the size of Godzilla all
Dude,
of a sudden?
Dude, he's massive. Yeah. What is that?
He got swole, man. He got swole. Cultivated mass during the offseason.
He got swole. Gordon Hayward got swole between his rookie year and now. He didn't grow an extra 100 feet tall.
I don't know, man. It's King Kong. A cinematic legend, King Kong. Basically,
cinematic legend.
The King monster Kong. Of all monsters, man. Everything King Kong, I love. Have you seen Skull Island?
I have.
Oh, that was good.
I loved it.
Yeah. I'm so in on King Kong. Who do you have in this fight? Do you have King Kong? You have Godzilla. Who do you have?
So there should be no way in hell that King Kong wins this fight, right?
No.
Although I'm with you that King Kong has a special place in my heart, I guess because when I was a kid or whatever, King Kong, plus just the name King Kong, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I like Skull Island more than either of the two Godzilla movies.
Yes, 100%, yeah.
But there's no way he should win this because Godzilla has that like laser nuclear thing that he spits out, right?
Yeah.
But I think if you do just the minimum amount of comment reading on any of the videos, it's pretty clear that they're gonna pull a Batman, Superman, an Avengers Civil War type of thing here, right? Where they're fighting at the start or whatever, and then they're gonna team up to beat somebody bigger
Mothra
and better.
Or whoever, yeah.
Or like the robot Godzilla or whatever. Either way, I'm excited. I'm all in on it. As soon as it came out, I forced my wife to watch the trailer with me. And for those of you who know her or have heard her on the pod or follow her whatsoever, you can tell there was about a 1% amount of interest in it. And then I think she said in the most passive aggressive voice ever, "Why is King Kong so big?" And then I was like, "You're right. I have no explanations." I was like, I don't know. She's like, "We watched Skull Island together." Yeah. She was like, "He's not supposed to be that big. Why are they the same height? How can a boat carry him? If he got that big, how can a boat carry the both of them?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I know. Like there are no answers here. There are no answers." So, but yeah, I'm with you. I'm all in on King Kong.
Yeah.
It's great. Skull Island is great. Here's my fourth thing. My fourth thing's actually a sneaker.
Right.
My fourth thing is actually a sneaker, and it's a sneaker that I know that a lot of the times there's just a lot of frustration with sneakers because people want to get certain sneakers, don't have access to it, there's not enough of it. By the time you want to get it, it's out of stock, or it gets to the resale market, it's super expensive. All of that stuff. I will say this though, that the one thing that I'm such a big fan of right now, I haven't seen it. I haven't actually gotten my hands on it. And I'm bringing up the photos right now just because I want to see it again. But this is a shoe that I'm such a big fan of right now. It's the Nike Cosmic Unity. If you guys have seen that, it's the hoop shoe that, Anthony Davis is playing with right now. And then there's that launch colorway of it, and it's just incredible. It comes out later this month, right? So small kind of plug here. Cosmic Unity, it comes out at Titan, so follow us, Titan_22. That's not a paid ad, by the way. Well, they paid for it through my salary, so I guess right. I guess that works. But yeah, no, I really like it because of a few things. Obviously, the sustainability angle of it is fantastic because it's made from recycled materials, right?
Yeah.
Everything that you can see on it, the collar lining, sock liner, tongue, laces, the cable details on the forefoot, it's sustainable recycled materials, the outsole recycled green rubber, and you know, it's really of the time. It's a conscious shoe. Yeah. But just the way it looks, specifically that launch colorway, that black with hints of like teal or, you know, mint on the midsole, and just the holes on it, it looks like it's the ultimate 2021 shoe. A little bit of a dad shoe vibe, a little bit of this distressed look on it, but it's a sleek, you know, silhouette. I feel like we're going to look back in 10, 15 years and talk about the Cosmic Unity the way we now kind of look back and talk about the original Hyper Dunk, or how we talk about Huaraches, because they were so representative of their time. I have really, really high hopes and a lot of excitement for the Cosmic Unity shoe. So I feel like people shouldn't sleep on it. Go grab it, whether you wear it to play or you just wear it to wear it. I think it's going to be a super important shoe. Yeah, that's my word for it. I think it's going to be a very important shoe.
I have a question. Ever since the pandemic started, do you wear your shoes inside the house?
Yes. Like an idiot.
Me also. How long before you started wearing your shoes inside the house?
I think after month two, I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna wear them around. I'm just gonna wear them around.
Hard sick.
And my wife knows this. Obviously, I get so excited anytime she needs something from like the grocery store, or from the pharmacy, or from, you know, to pick up like some takeout that she ordered, and I'm like, oh, I get to go outside the house. Hang on. We go on like afternoon walks now, and then she's like, "Are you wearing different shoes from our walk yesterday?" And I go, "Yeah,
of course.
It's my only chance to wear them. My only chance. So wear your shoes, folks. Wear your shoes. It's important. Yeah, it's important that you do. It makes you feel good about the purchases. It makes you feel good about the money you've thrown at them."
All the shoes that I bought during the pandemic and that I've worn inside the house, I've never taken them out. They don't know.
Oh,
they
really?
Haven't had a droplet of COVID-19. None of that. they're just for like the living room and the bedroom. I have like a bathroom sneaker that I wear when I take a dump.
Bathroom sneaker. They don't know the light of day? Wow,
no,
that's impressive.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's impressive. Yeah, no, everything I have, all the old pairs and all that, I'm wearing them around. I've had a couple of pairs give up on me, you know, midsole crumbles, the outsole, the last piece of rubber on the outsole is peeled off. So I'm trying to use everything I can before the pandemic just takes, you know, another thing from us. If they start taking my, if this pandemic starts taking my sneakers, I'm going to be seriously upset.
They never could, even if they tried. Well,
not if you have bathroom shoes.
Well, I was supposed to bring up the Nike Go Fly Ease for the number 8, but maybe indoor shoes could be my number 8.
All shoes are now indoor shoes. But no, the Fly Ease looks incredible. It's the first hands-free shoe. Fully, completely hands-free shoe. And, you know, obviously it's going to be so, so very practical for people who are not blessed with the dexterity that we have with our hands, with the coordination that we have, with our extremities. So for them to be able to, you know, get in and out of a comfortable shoe easily without assistance, also a fantastic looking shoe at that.
I think that
means so much, and I think that's such a big testament to you know, to what Nike's trying to do with FlyEase. And I think that those last two shoes that we brought up, you know, whether it's sustainability with the Cosmic Unity or with what the FlyEase line tries to do for people who are different abled, if I had to pick the two things that Nike's doing or the shoe industry is doing that's most important, it'd have to be those two things. Fantastic job on the FlyEase.
Yeah. I'm just in on anything that's self-lacing, self-tightening.
Yeah. Is it because you feel like just as a species we should have evolved past shoelaces by now? Or is that just a general laziness?
No, I think we shouldn't be teaching our kids how to tie shoelaces anymore. Like, it's a dead... It's something that should die along with the name Fair.
With Rodney.
Apologies to anyone named Fair listening to this right now.
Only my Lola, but yeah, won't mind. Don't worry. She'll look down on you from heaven and be like, I don't mind, Tobias. I don't mind. You can say what you want. All right, so before we get to our last two things, it is the People's Podcast after all. And, you know, we always say that the People's Podcast supports the people who supports the podcast. That being said, we are proud to present our side hustle sponsor of this episode. For those of you who are new to it, it's something that we started doing in season two. The side hustle sponsorship is completely for free, 100% for free. All you have to do is let us know about whatever side hustle it is that you've been running over the quarantine, and we are more than happy to put you guys on a presenting sponsor spot here on the podcast to promote the heck out of it. It's a community. It is the People's Pod. So everyone who's listening right now, go and give this account a follow. And if it interests you, send them your money as well. This is probably one of the best small businesses out there. It's called Giesing.ph. That's Giesing, G-I-S-I-N-G, and then another Giesing, G-I... There's two G's there in the middle. There's four G's in total. Am I making myself clear about how this thing is spelled? Giesing.ph. They are a fruit and vegetable store. The tagline is share the goods, but they are so much more than that. So how it works, according to their website, is they curate and assemble boxes that suit your lifestyle and fit your daily nutritional needs. We factor in an extra box to be donated to families in need at no extra cost. We make this possible by sourcing directly from local farmers and disrupting the traditional supply chain. So order your fruits and vegetables from them. What they'll do is for everyone that you buy, and guys at Giesing, correct me if I'm getting this wrong, but this is how I understand it. For every box of fruits and vegetables you buy, you're also at no extra cost buying for a family in need, and of course, supporting local farmers. So there you go. The side hustle of this episode, side hustle sponsor is Giesing.ph. Give them a follow. Order your fruits and vegetables from them. You're helping out a whole lot of people. So shout out to them. Good job. That brings us to our last two things on our list. I had a couple of things that were competing. I had a couple of things that, you know, I had, you know, maybe wanted to do this, maybe wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to stick to the list, because other than that, this thing would have just gone on till forever. All right. Okay. So here's the last thing on my list at number nine, and my number five thing for me. And I'm really, really happy to be talking about this. And I feel like it needs for people to, you know, get more people involved in speaking about it. But Candace Parker, after 13 years with the LA Sparks, is now a member of the Chicago Sky. See, the collective terms for her basketball teams always confuse me, because she is now a Sky. She is now
right.
But I'm doing that correctly, right? She's now a member of the Sky. Right? In the same way that Jimmy Butler is not a Heat. He's a member of I hate it. I hate the collective terms for basketball teams. Like, Aaron Gordon arrived in Philadelphia along with the rest of the Magics. Of the Magic period. It confuses my grammar. But anyway, Candace Parker, longtime LA Spark. And probably, maybe when you say LA Spark, you most probably think of either Candace Parker or Lisa Leslie, depending how old you are. But she was LA basketball for quite some time. And if you include the Lakers, even if you include the Lakers, she is the longest tenured professional basketball player in Los Angeles that's playing for a Los Angeles team. So Clippers and Lakers included, Candace has been holding it down for my favorite sports city, LA, for more than a decade. And now she's coming home to Chicago, which again, you know, is a product of free agency. That's what happens. That's what happens when you don't secure your best players. And that's what happens, Derek Fisher, when you sit her in an elimination game. We haven't forgotten 2 years ago. I just hope that that's not what happens to all elite bigs playing in Los Angeles who are from Chicago when free agency arrives. So Anthony Davis, don't get any ideas. But Candace Parker, I wish you all the best. I thank you for everything that you've done for the city of LA, including the championships and the MVP runs. You truly are one of the best. This is an incredible hooper, one of the best analysts and personalities on TV talking basketball right now. It's going to be so weird to root against her. But this WNBA season, it's shaping up to be truly exciting. Do you have a WNBA team? Are you a Mercury fan?
I'm just a casual fan of basketball in general, but no, I don't.
See, my problem with the WNBA is, while I just went on like this whole love letter to CP3 and her time in LA, I'm such a big fan of so many teams because this isn't me trying to be extra or anything, but I truly, truly do love the WNBA as a league, as a product. I love the things they're doing as a league. I love the elimination of conferences in the playoffs to ensure that the best two teams meet in the finals. I love that. Right. I love the style of play. I love the personalities. I love the drama between the trash talking. You see Dan Taurasi last year telling the referee, "We'll meet you at the lobby."
Yes.
I love it. I'm a massive DT fan. DT and Sue Bird are my two favorite players, forever, ever. I'm a huge Aces fan because Liz Cambage is there. And Liz Cambage, probably my favorite personality in all of women's basketball because she's so fun. And Asia Wilson's so funny, and she plays there. Elena Deladon is just spectacular. Just like as a basketball player, you can't not root for Elena Deladon, especially if you know what she stands for as a person. So Washington's right up there with me for teams to root for. So just like right off the bat there, those are like four teams. And then Minnesota, especially after... like they just picked up Kayla McBride. Minnesota is one Maya Moore I'm back facts away from being just the runaway Durant on the Warriors level favorites to win this next championship. But with a WNBA, you never know. So there. Should be a fun WNBA season coming up. WNBA free agency is still ongoing. And it is pretty crazy. And for the record, Sue Bird hasn't signed back yet although she's expected to, I guess, but has not signed back yet with the Storm. So we never know what's going to happen.
How did you take the news when Candace Parker was leaving?
I was shocked. I was shocked that it actually happened. Although after the initial shock of, you know, someone who's been with a team, the franchise, the face of a franchise for so long. But after the initial shock wears off and then you realize, maybe she doesn't want to play for Fish anymore. You're like, okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Right.
Chicago Sky. Why do they call them the Sky anyway? I don't understand. There's a lot of things.
The Windy City, I guess. Yeah.
The wind. I guess it's better than the wind. Yeah,
the winds. Yeah. The winds are the skies, whichever you want. All right. Okay, so to close out the list, my number 10 is this game called Hades. Have you played this, Nico?
I have not.
You have not? Well, it is on... Hades? Hades, yes, as in the god of the underworld. It is available on Steam, so on every computer, so that whether you're Windows or a Mac, it's available on Steam.
What does that mean? What does that mean? Walk me through that like I'm an idiot, because I am. What is available on Steam? What does it mean?
It means you can buy the game on Steam. It's a
What is a Steam? Is that a WNBA team?
Steam is a store for video games on your computer. Okay. So whether you're on Mac, whether you're on Windows, you can buy it. It has gorgeous art. It's just 500 pesos, Nico. 500 pesos for the best game of 2020.
Best game. Okay. Okay, so is it one of those... first person, is that the right term?
No.
Is it
all right,
first person game?
What I love about Hades is that it really goes back to the basics. It's one of those games where it doesn't rely on its 5-star graphics. It doesn't rely on motion capture.
So the graphics suck.
No. The graphics are great. The art is great.
Okay.
I mean, it's all hand-drawn. Colors are great.
Oh, okay.
If you're into mythology, if you bought like the illustrated Edith Hamilton mythology book like I did, you are going to love this game. I'm probably speaking to like only 3 listeners right now, but then, yeah.
So it, in terms of games, so it's not one of those things that I only see my hands, right?
No.
It's not one of those things, okay? So it's not like Call of Duty where I only see my hands.
It's a top-down view.
Very like Pokemon. Simple.
Yeah.
Like Zelda.
Yeah, like Pokemon. Yes, Zelda. Like
okay,
Zelda.
All right, okay. I can get
die
it on
painfully. And
okay, I get on because I tried playing God of War during quarantine and I had to put it on easy mode and I still had to YouTube the walkthroughs to figure out how to do it. And at a couple of points, I was close to calling my brother-in-law or my sister-in-law, both of whom are much more accomplished gamers, and asking them to come over to my house and get me past the level. But yeah, so that's how bad I am at video games. But yeah, I will take that into consideration because, as you've said multiple times, it's only 500 pesos.
Yeah, I am not being paid by Steam or Hades in any way. I think they just deserve your money, man.
I see Steam a lot, and I'm just like, what is that? Like, is that a new franchise team, like, in the NBA? Like, is it illegal? Is it, like, torrent? Like, I'm not sure you can say torrents out loud anymore. So Steam is legit. It's just like this, what, marketplace for games?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Oh, my God. I didn't know you were at this age, Nico.
It's not an age thing. I didn't know any video games stuff when I was younger either. I just suck at the video games. But okay, yes, those are the 10 things we recommend, that made us laugh, that we're interested in. If you guys have any ideas on what should be on next week's the 10, then just please let us know. Again, follow us on Facebook, on Instagram, and catch us on YouTube. The Facebook group would be a great place to talk about the 10. We'll post some of the stuff that we talked about there. If you guys want to add something onto it, then let us know. Catch us on YouTube. Some of our best stuff, the videos of it, will be going up there. And we have a new episode coming up for you guys in a couple of days. Thanks, everyone. Stay safe. Catch you guys again later. Bye-bye.
I want a million lives. I want a billion profits when all that I got is a villainous mind. I keep a real in the pocket while you hear the venomous lies. I do not speak like a prophet because I got a million styles. Let's see what's really inside. Pulling over in the whip, flying out another.